Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble, at your service. And another pretty gracious, pretty humble guy is joining us right now. His name is Skip Miller. And Skip is, as you many of you know, he's the founder of the Advanced Sales School. He's the president of M3 Learning. He's the author of a couple of my favorite books, Proactive Sales Management and Proactive Selling, Control the Process and Win the Sale. And he's our good friend, Skip Miller. Welcome back to the show.
Good, Jim. Pleasure to be back, being my humble, kind, easy self here.
Being such a humble individual as you are. Skipper, we're glad you're back, and because as we always do when you join us, we talk about one of my favorite topics, and that is the whole process of selling. I sometimes occasionally misspeak when I say back when I was a salesman, and you know what? The truth is when I, and then I always correct myself because I realize that every day that the sun comes up, I'm selling somebody something when I'm doing that right now. We all do, don't we?
That's exactly right. And, you know, it's fun to hear people treat sales as a dirty word. You know, I'm not selling. I'm really not in sales. I mean, if you have a face-to-face interaction or if you touch a customer, you're in sales.
That's the trap that I got into. As you know that I don't think sales is a dirty word, but what I do think about sometimes, I do forget that you know, just because I don't work for somebody else on commission, you know, that doesn't mean that I'm not a salesperson. Just because you're a receptionist or an accountant or a truck driver, that doesn't mean, you know, if you work for yourself or somebody else in any capacity, sometime during your day, you're going to sell something, aren't you?
And if you're presenting an image or a voice to the customer, you are. And it really amplifies itself when you try calling higher in the organization as well. You know, the more higher you go in the organization, the more senior level. When you touch customers via letter, email, voice, or in person, you're selling.
Absolutely. One of the things, Skip, that I was taught a long time ago was the importance of making sure that you are plugged into your customer's organization as high as is humanly possible. Not to mean that you do all your work with the president or the CEO or whoever is at the top of the organizational structure, but at least that somebody as high as you can possibly get at least knows who you are and that you are doing business with them. Talk to us a little bit about that.
You know, I'm writing another book on prospecting, and the whole idea of prospecting higher in the organization is proving out some interesting statistics. And I guess we find three things by calling high. The small business owner will either him or herself or have a salesperson or so give you all the reasons why they should start lower in the organization and work their way up, and you know, it takes time to get to the upper level, and you really can't get there as quick. And what we find is three things. One, sales will take 20 to 30% less time when your initial contact is high. Your selling price, the average sales price, will be higher. And it takes 10 to 20% less effort. You will have a chance of winning 10 to 20% more often if you call high first, then work yourself up, trying to find a way around there, have your internal salesperson call high. It just is amazing to me with all these statistics that salespeople still have this fear, mm-hmm. dread, excuses of calling high.
Mm-hmm. They walk in and ask for the purchasing agent instead of for the president.
That's exactly right. And figure if they get good homework or get a good relationship at the lower levels, then they get the rite of passage.
It's the wrong direction.
And you're exactly right, and it is the silliest thing. So for small business owners, if it's right now it's May, coming up to May, and the best thing they can do coming up for the summer months when you start your prospecting blitzes now, because it'll be the end of the quarter soon,
mm-hmm.
is come up with some prospecting blitz, something that just targets your message, your value, to the higher level in the organization.
Well, you know, Skip, I remember one of my mentors was telling me about this many, many years ago, and he said this. He said, well, which would you rather have happen? That your purchasing agent introduces you to the president, or would you rather have the president introduce you to the purchasing agent?
You know, we all know the answer to that, but yeah. I'm going to venture that 70-80% of it's the first way.
Absolutely. But what does that say? You know, what does that say to the purchasing agent if you've just been handed down to him from the president? That gets you a whole different perspective in his mind, doesn't it?
Exactly right. And once you've made a relationship with the purchasing agent, try to tell them, the purchasing agent, that you're going to go talk to the president without them.
Right.
That doesn't work.
That's not going to work. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We got more fun to come with our good friend William Skip Miller, the author of Proactive Selling. 22, stay with us. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our free newsletter. And if you have a question or a comment, here's the email address, askjim@jbsba.com. askjim@jbsba.com. Skip Miller is our guest, William Skip Miller, the author of Proactive Selling. Skip, give us your website, please.
m3learning.com.
All right. And what do we find when we get there?
Oh, we've got a website now for seminars. We do public and private. The books are available. The tapes are available, especially the Proactive Sales Management book, which is it's still number one on Amazon, Jim.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
I believe it. Hey, listen, nothing but no chopped liver on my show, only the best for my audience. We've said that for a long time.
Well, the management book's been out 3 years, and all my friends and family have already bought it, so I have no idea why it's still number one.
Skipper, how many times have you been on this show?
There you go. Man,
I mean, what do I got to do, pop you on the forehead? Why do you think it's number one? God, no. Well, I mean, we launched the book on this show, for God's sake, and I'm surprised that the other one hasn't taken off, too. It will, though. Don't worry, it will. We'll just give it a little time.
Skip, yeah, there you go.
I know it's taken off. I'm surprised it's not number one. Skip, let me tell you a quick real-life story on myself. This is a story on me, folks, at my expense. Many, many, many years ago, I'm thinking almost, well, a long time ago, I was a young pup, and I had a big proposal. I mean, it was a huge proposal. I was working for Xerox, and I was working with the purchasing agent because that's who my predecessor had worked with. And it was, you know, in those days, as you know, most business was done by the purchasing agent, and I did a lot of business with those guys. Anyway, that's who I was working with at this company. It was really doing well. Getting this big proposal, it was huge. It was going to make my year. And I kept asking the guy, now, are you going to make this decision? Oh, yes. You know, just like I'd been trained to do. You know, who else is going to be involved? Nobody else. And I kept going back and kept going back, and he never would give me an answer. And finally, I went back another day, and I said, you know, where do we stand? And he said, well, I got some bad news, Jim. He said, we're going to be giving this business to somebody else. And I said, what are you talking about? You've never said anything about anything like that. He said, well, I didn't know that there was another proposal out there. He said, the people above me have been talking to these guys. Let me tell you something. I learned, it was a very expensive lesson that I learned that day about calling high and selling high.
You know, you feel like grabbing the guy going, you're the person you're supposed to know.
No, you know what I felt like? Remember the coyote and the roadrunner?
Yeah.
When he had the Acme butt kicking boot, you know, remember that one? You pulled the handle down and, you know, kicked him himself in the rear. That's how I felt. I wanted to go and get one of those things and just kick myself because I hadn't done my job. I did not make sure he told me what he told me, but I shouldn't have believed him. I should have done my job. I should have called higher.
Well, the question is, calling high is not the trick, as you all know it. The trick is, Jim, when you're calling high, what do you say? What do you say to be of value that person doesn't deflect you down the organization? I mean, And we had conversations on your show before about speaking Spanish, Russian, and Greek, that you've got to make sure you speak the Russian language and create value. And there's another thing you want to look at when you're talking to a senior executive. You know, they're going to agree to meet with you because they've got an issue. And there's four ways to think of these issues, okay? And we call it the four no's, right? Well, there's going to be a reason that they're going to talk to you because they have a need. But they're not going to talk to you for four reasons, and you got to overcome those objections. And the first one is going to be no trust. You're too much of a risk. You're too small of a business person. They've got objections right up front that they don't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to overcome the trust. The second is no need. They don't know that they have a need, and you're going to have to do your homework to uncover that. The third reason is no assistance. They believe that they can do it themselves. Thank you very much. And the fourth objection is no rush. You know, their perceived time frame is not one where they see a sense of urgency. If you're getting to call high and you're getting turned down, it's probably one of these four reasons. They don't have enough trust in you to answer the phone or grant you a meeting. They don't have a perceived need. They don't perceive they need any help or assistance. And they're not in a hurry. Or there's no rush. That's where you do your homework on a company to break into the door mm-hmm. by saying, Mr. or Ms. Senior Executive, you know, I'd like to call on you because of these reasons and address these four areas of no, because you're not getting in, probably because of one of those four areas.
Could you also, one of the things that used to work for me, Skip, after that meltdown that I just told you about, that I had, what I would say is whenever the person would say to me, well, you know what, I have somebody who handles that for me, and you need to call on that person. And I would always say, as I was telling them, answering one of the four no's you were talking about, I would always say, and I will be glad to work with whoever you ask me to work with, but before I do that, I would like to make sure that you understand what our vision is for serving your company.
There's the perfect comment there. I would be glad to talk to those people, but before I do, because I'm not giving you control of this call, you got to separate. There's two sales calls going down. There's the technical business, there's the evaluation part of the features and benefits of your product, and there's the business part, the value part. Top executives are going to expect money back for their... We tell people when you sell value to the higher level, you're selling money. And the example we give is I'll be in a room in front of 50 people, and I'll say, you sell money, and I'll tell you why we do this and what it means in a little bit here.
Yeah, hang on to that thought. We're going to come right back after these messages. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Skip Miller is our guest. William Skip Miller, the author of Proactive Selling. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging around with us. And by the way, coming up in the show straight ahead, Floyd Hurd is going to be with us. And be sure, folks, to buckle up, because when Floyd joins us, it's going to be a wild ride. Always is. Michael Fleischer is going to join us from Baghdad. We're going to get another report from Iraq on how things are going on in the marketplace. This guy is over there helping people get their businesses going in Baghdad, the Iraqis. And he's going to be giving us a report on that. And that's Michael Fleischer. And then after that, Tim Berry, who is our business planning expert, who will be joining us. And that's coming up in the show straight ahead. Skip Miller is our guest, and his book is called Proactive Selling, Control the Process and Win the Sale. It's a great book, folks, and I really encourage you to check it out when you get a chance, wherever books are sold. Skip, one of the things that you've taught us well is that when we call up and we deal with people in the upper levels of the company, even if we know we're not going to get that guy to say yes, or that person to say yes, but maybe the yes is going to come from somebody down the chain, we still want to talk to these people. But what we have to realize, and this is what you've taught us, is that they speak a different language. The president speaks a different language from the VPs. The VPs speak a different language from the managers, and the managers speak a different language from the purchasing agents.
That's exactly right. And we call it, the managers speak the feature function language, which we call Spanish. The VPs speak a language of money, you know, increase revenue, decrease cost. And the Greeks, the top people, speak market share, market size. And most your sales calls when you call high have got to be focused on the Russian, the middle level, sell money. And a good way to look at it, Jim, is at the Russians, they want to know how things work. How does this work? How does that work? How does it fit? They want to answer the question, how? At the Russian level, they don't care how. They have people who work for them
right.
who figure out how.
Right.
They want to know why.
Exactly.
Why would I want to do this? What's in it for me? How much money am I going to make? Why would I do this? Those are the two questions you should prepare for.
It's got to be, and your whole presentation has got to be conceptual, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's got to be why. Here's the vision of what you're trying to do. Here's our visions. You know, are we matching? Because if we match, you're going to make a lot of money. It's not you're going to use our product, you know, really well. They don't care. They have people for how. They
right.
care about how much money they're going to make on it, and why would they do this? Those are
well,
the issues that answer in your presentation.
Well, if you go in talking about your square box and all the different buttons your square box has and how much better your square, you know, your square box is than somebody else's round box, the Russians aren't going to care about that. But if you tell them that research has shown that customers will pay more for a square box than a round box, now that's conceptual.
I just did a speech for a couple of hours in front of 30 startup CEOs out in California, and I described the typical PowerPoint presentation that a salesperson gives. Slide one is the overview, is the you know the logo slide. Slide two is the company history. Slide three is the mission. Slide four is the map slide where it shows your offices somewhere in the United States or in the world. Why do you think a senior executive is going to sit through a presentation like that?
Mm-hmm.
Your first couple of presentations better be about this. If you're going to go to call high, should be addressing the question, why? Why is it in their benefit to spend time with you? Why is it that they're going to make money with this? Why is it that's the first couple of slides of a presentation you're going to be given when you call high?
When you talk, the higher you are, shouldn't you also, and one of the advantages of all this is that you can leave out a bunch of stuff, can't you? I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can leave out, and it actually makes your presentation shorter, which it needs to be with the Russians, doesn't it?
You know, that 40-pound technical manual, that 40-pound sample kit, you could leave in the car.
Right.
Any presentation with a Russian, if it's going to be formal, should be no longer than five. Count them. Five slides, and should definitely be involved with a whiteboard or a flip chart to make it interactive.
And if it has to be on a piece of paper, as much as possible, get it on one sheet of paper. What do you think about that?
And without a doubt, simpler the better, the concept. And I'll give your small business owners one of the bigger tips of the world. Go out to Staples or Office Depot or somewhere and buy some colored magic markers. How many times have you been in a presentation where you go to the board and all there is that half dried out green marker?
Mm-hmm.
Go
take
out
your,
and buy.
Take your own with you, huh?
Yes, because presentations are 20% more effective when they're in color rather than monochromatic in one color of a half dried out marker you're trying to make a point on.
Right. Right.
Bring your own markers. It's stupid. It's silly. But your presentation is going to be set apart because you're using multiple color, and people can emphasize with that, especially when you ask the prospect to go to the board to help draw things with you. That's getting them involved, man.
Yeah, that's fun.
Them involved.
I've done that. That's fun. Hey, Skip, give us your website one more time.
Sure. M3 Learning, number three, www.m3learning.com.
Go there, folks, and you will learn. And check out Skip's books, too. I promise you, they're some of the best that I've ever seen. Skipper, thank you very much. Good job today.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Jim.
See you next time. Skip Miller, ladies and gentlemen. William Skip Miller. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.